prayer for a moment. Father, we come to you again in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for the meditations we've already had here this evening. We do want to be successful, Lord, according to your heart and your mind. Not our own, God, but the way that you see success. I pray you'll lead each one of us into a successful Christian life. God, I ask you that you'd meet with us here now as we look at another subject, Father. I pray that you'll give us wisdom. I pray, Father, that you'll help me. Lord God, guide us with thine eye. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we greet each one in Jesus' name. I'd like to speak on a subject that's been on my heart for some time. I'm not sure if I can get it out the way that it's in my heart, but I'm going to attempt by the grace of God. I'd like to speak this evening on the anatomy of a brotherhood. And I looked up those words a little bit. The word anatomy means the broken down into details. You study in science class, you study the anatomy of the human body. And you take the human body apart and study the heart, and you study the lungs, and you study the stomach, and the digestive system, and the brain, and all of those different systems of the body. And they call it an anatomy class. Well, this evening, I'd like to study a little bit the anatomy of a brotherhood. Just like to teach on the principle of brotherhood here a little bit this evening. To me, it's a very sweet and dear principle to my own heart and life. I never knew it until 10 years ago. Until I came to this church, I never knew what a brotherhood was all about. It's very sweet to me. My background, where I come from, they taught us in Bible school that the church is made up of two groups of people. There's the laity and there's the preacher or the clergy. Now, they wouldn't use the term clergy. They called them the preacher. But the same division was made. There's the laity and there's the preachers in the congregation. Where I come from, they taught us to draw real clear lines between the laity and the preacher. In fact, we were even instructed in school to make sure that we did not develop too close of a relationship with our people because we're the preacher and they're the people. This is some of the background that I come from. I was also taught that the pastor is the head of the church. Now, they believe that Christ is the head of the church, but the pastor is the head of the church, and that the pastor directs the church, and basically he's in charge of the church. No one is ever to question what he does. No one is ever to challenge any of his messages. These were some of the things that were taught to me, and that's a little bit the background that I come from. And since being here for the last 10 years, or nearly 10 years, a brotherhood, and the principles of a brotherhood are very sweet to me. So we want to look at these principles and the anatomy of a brotherhood and then just take a look at how a church should function as a brotherhood rather than a pastor-run church. A brotherhood fellowship and church is what we want to look at. Some of the strengths of a brotherhood, and yea, even some of the possible weaknesses of a brotherhood. There are many places in the Scripture where we find God speaking about His church in many different ways. Just this evening we heard about God speaking about His church as a flock of sheep. There are other places in the Scripture where it speaks about the church as a building. Another place, 1 Corinthians 12, the church is a body. Ephesians chapter 5, the church is a bride. And over in Revelation, we even see that the church is a city. So we can see that God uses many different illustrations when He speaks about the church. But I think that we would all agree that the most frequent references in the Scriptures and the most practical examples when God speaks about the church is He speaks of the church as a family. As a family. God is our Father. Jesus is our elder brother. And we are brothers one of another. And if we were speaking here this evening to a mixed congregation, we are brothers and sisters. The Scriptures speak about us being brothers and sisters. We're in the same family. Other Scriptures, God speaks about being our Father, and He'll be our Father, and we'll be His sons and daughters. And there's a lot of Scriptures that relate to the church and its relationship with God as a family. These Scriptures come to my mind. In Peter, I believe, is where it is mentioned that we're to love the brotherhood. Other Scriptures. Let brotherly love continue. Add to your godliness brotherly kindness. Paul speaks to the faithful brethren in Christ. And also many admonitions are given to greet the brethren with a kiss of charity, or greet the brethren with a holy kiss. There are many different Scriptures that speak about the relationships that we have one of another, and it makes reference to us being brothers. We are brothers. We are the brethren. We are brothers and sisters. We are to relate to the older ones among us as if they were fathers. We are to relate to the older sisters as if they are mothers. We are to relate to the single sisters like they are our sisters, our blood sisters. And these references are given all the way through the Scriptures. I looked up the word brotherhood in the Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, and this is what it says about the word brotherhood. A community based on identity of origin, or the same origin. Community, a common unity based on an identified origin. That's what a brotherhood is. We all come from Adam. Every one of us here this evening. We come from the same roots. We were all in Adam. Every one of us had sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have come to God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us have the same spirit of adoption whereby within our own hearts we cry, Abba Father. And there is within you the Spirit of God, the Spirit of adoption that cries Abba to Father. And there is within me that same Spirit of adoption which cries Abba to Father. And I cry to the same Father that you cry to, and that makes us brothers. And thus we get the principle of a brotherhood. If we could turn to Ephesians at this time and read a few verses in Ephesians chapter 4. Reading verse 1 through 7. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why? There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now we can see from these scriptures that whether we acknowledge the principle of brotherhood or not, it's in the Bible. And not only is it in the Bible, but it's a reality in our lives. Now I think that it blesses us and it is good for us if we not only know, experience it, but we recognize that it's a teaching in the Bible and it's something that we need to build in our lives and be jealous over that relationship of brotherhood because it's there. We don't have to believe it and then have it there. It's there. But the more we see it and cultivate it, the greater the blessing will be in each one of our lives. I had to think as I was pondering this subject, you really don't have to make a brotherhood happen. The lodges in the world have a brotherhood. You take a bunch of World War II veterans and put them all in the same building and there'll be a brotherhood in that building because they were all in the same war. They went through the same experiences. They fought the same enemies. They were shot by the same bullets. They went through the same troubles. They were in the same army. They fought for the same country. And if you put all those men in one building, you'll find a brotherhood developing. You won't even have to tell them to do it. You'll find it happening because of that common unity that is among them. So, there is in a sense that a brotherhood is already here. But we'd like to dissect it a little bit this evening and look at it. Why a brotherhood? Well, the first point has already been made, simply because of common identity. Common identity produces a brotherhood. So that's our first point. In the anatomy of a brotherhood, there is a common identity. And here we are this evening, washed in the same blood, saved by the same Savior, worshiping the same God, having the same Spirit within us, having the same Spirit of adoption within us. We have the same goals. We believe the same book. We read the same Bible. Same hopes, everything. We are a brotherhood because of common identity. Point number two, we've already mentioned a lot about it, but we'll make it a point here now. We have the same Father. In a natural sense, it is also the same. A family who grows up together, who has the same Father, there will be there'll be esprit de corps. There'll be a family unity there because they're of the same Father. It's interesting, you know, when you get over to Africa, you'll see how that ties together, even over there where a man might have had four wives and children from all four of those wives, but yet there's a common unity there. And they tie themselves together because they had the same Father. Four different mothers, but one Father. And you'll meet him and say, yeah, that's my brother. Yeah, that's my brother. That's my brother. That's my brother. And the family is tied closely together because they had the same Father, even though they lived in different houses, because they had the same Father. And it's the same with us. We do have the same Father, and we've been birthed into the same family. And because of that, the principle of brotherhood needs to be worked out because the reality of brotherhood is already there. The Scriptures teach us over in Peter. If we could just turn there in 1 Peter, I believe it's 2:9, but we want to also notice the priesthood of all believers. The Scripture teaches in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." Now, we clearly know that the Scriptures teach that in this New Testament era, all are priests unto God. The Scriptures just a little bit earlier there, chapter 2 and verse 5 say, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." The priesthood of all believers is a New Testament doctrine. No longer are there priests and then all of the people. No longer is there a great separation between the priests and the people, but in the New Testament, all of God's people are priests, every one of them. No longer do we put a certain garb on a certain person and call him the priest, and nobody else can wear that garment, but now we all dress alike. There is no uniform for the clergy. Funeral that I had the opportunity to go to, there they have a uniform for the clergy, and he put on this big long robe and a clerical collar and walked out there in front of everyone else, and his garments separated him from the laity that was in that building. But that's not New Testament teaching. In the New Testament, it's the priesthood of all the believers. Every one of us now has an open heaven before God. Every one of us can come to God through the one mediator between God and man, which is Christ Jesus. Yes, hallelujah. What a blessing. The priesthood of all believers. This is part of the anatomy of a brotherhood. We'll see some of the outworkings of that as we make some applications later. We also want to notice in this anatomy of a brotherhood that every man is taught of God. Every man is taught of God. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27 it says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Now from this verse we clearly see that every man is taught of God. This is not to disannul the fact that there are preachers and teachers among us. But the fact is that here again the principle of priesthood for all believers, we see clearly here that God teaches all of His people. It wasn't quite that way in the Old Testament. But here in the New Testament, since we have received the gift of the Holy Ghost in each one of our hearts and lives, God teaches all of us. And then again, thus, a brotherhood. Here we are. We are washed by the blood of Jesus. Every one of us was found dead in trespasses and sins. We've all been birthed into the same family. We have the same Father. He's given us the same spirit of adoption. He's made every one of us a priest. And He is now teaching every one of us the principles of the Word of God by the anointing that dwelleth in us. Why then shouldn't we be a brotherhood of equal status? Of course we should. The next part of the anatomy of a brotherhood is, and this bears out in our homes, I'm sure we would agree, those of us that have grown up in homes, 4 children, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 children, we would all agree that those children are different. Even though they're in the same family, there are differences in those children. There's different temperaments. They have different talents, different abilities. And that's the way God created us. He made us different, even though We are in a same family. Well, it's also carried out in the spiritual. Just like we read here in Ephesians chapter 4, that God gives different measures of grace to each one of His children. And this works a very beautiful function of a brotherhood. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 teaches that spiritual gifts are given by God through the Spirit as He will. And He gives different gifts to different members of the body. And thus, the brotherhood begins to function. It's blended together. It needs to be together. You need me, and I need you. Your wisdom I can't live without. The wisdom that I have, you can't live without. And God orders and gives to each one in the brotherhood different spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 brings that out. And thus again, the functioning of a brotherhood. Well, how does this work out in real life? Point number one, in the functioning of a brotherhood, because we are a brotherhood, because we are on the same level, and we met at the same foot of the same cross, and every man is taught of God, and it's a priesthood of all believers, there will be many men preaching and teaching in a fellowship where there is a brotherhood. There won't be one man to do all the preaching. Again, that's the frame of reference that I come from. The pastor had the Sunday school class Sunday morning. Then he preached the sermon Sunday morning. Then he had the question and answer period Sunday evening. Then he preached the sermon on Sunday evening after that. And then on Wednesday evening, he had the Bible study. All one man having all of those functions. But the Bible teaches differently than that. That in a church where there is a brotherhood that is functioning, and every man is being taught of God, and men are being gifted by the Spirit of God, there's going to be functioning in that place many men preaching and teaching. Not everyone, because not all are gifted to preach or teach. But there will be many who are functioning in the gifts of preaching and teaching. Also, there will be many counselors. Many. Not one. Many. There won't be a line outside the pastor's study with 25 people standing out there on a Sunday afternoon after church. There won't need to be. Because in this fellowship, where there is a brotherhood, where every man is taught of God, where men are learning the Word of God, there'll be many counselors there. Point number two, in the outworking and in the function of this brotherhood, where there is a brotherhood functioning, brothers love each other. They love each other. Their lives are wrapped up in each other. They see each other during the week. They visit each other during the week. They call each other during the week. They encourage each other during the week. They may go over and help each other during the week. Somebody needs help working in his basement. Somebody's plumbing went out. They'll go over and help each other. The sisters will do the same. Somebody is with pregnant with child. Another sister will go over there and help that sister because there's a brotherhood. And they function as a brotherhood and they love each other as a brotherhood. Just like brothers and sisters love each other, in our families there is a functioning of a brotherhood and a love amongst the brotherhood that you will find to be a great blessing. And we all know it's so. Comes to my mind. Brother Aaron was here just a minute ago, and they're having a family get together. The family's getting together tonight. Why, they don't miss that. That's important. The natural ties of the family are there, and the family's getting together, and he's going. Oh, how much more so when we begin to see the reality of the spiritual family of God and that we are a brotherhood, should there be that love flowing one to another. Also, when you have a brotherhood, you have brothers and sisters admonishing one another. Admonishing one another. I'd like to encourage you on this point. Let us never lose this matter of admonishing one another. Even it was mentioned this evening in one of the messages that or Brother Daniel mentioned it, that someone had come to him and brought some needs to him. Let's hold on to that and count it very valuable. It was only about a month ago that I was counseling someone from a distant state. And they're trying to get a little fellowship going in their home. I think there's three or four families meeting together. And they were asking me what to do. There's a certain brother there who's he's got some real needs in his life, and his children are worldly, and they go to worldly amusements, and they go to the movies, and they have a television, and they're not sure what to do with it. And I explained to these two brothers the principle of brotherhood, and how that we ought to be able to go to that brother and admonish him about his television, or the fact that he lets his children go to worldly movies. And I encourage them that if they're going to start a fellowship, that they should start a fellowship and let that be one of the pillars of the foundation. We admonish one another around here. If you join this fellowship, you just count on it. We admonish one another around here. We want to be admonished. If you see something in my life, I want to know about it. I want to hear the needs that you see in my life. That's the way a brotherhood is. We know it's so in our families, on a natural sense. We want to help each other. We see a failing in one of our brothers. We feel free to go and share and help them to see that they're failing in a certain area because we grew up together. We're family. That's the way it is. Oh God, so be it much more in the family of God that we would want to, out of love, be able to go to a brother and help him to see a need and encourage him in a certain direction in their life. Brothers admonish each other. They need each other. They need the admonition one of another. Also, in the outworkings and the functionings of brotherhood, brothers work together to work out their problems. They go to each other. If there's a problem, they don't talk about it to somebody else. They go to each other and they work out their problems. They talk things out. They clear the air. That's part of being in a brotherhood. It's a normal function. They work them out together. And if they can't work them out together, then they'll get somebody else to help them so that they can have peace one with another. That's part of a brotherhood. And again, so many of these can be related to the human family. We all know you cannot let strife and division go on within your home. It doesn't work. And because we know it doesn't work, we're more easily able and desirous to go to each other and just keep things clear on a family level, on a human level. Also, in the functioning of a brotherhood, decisions can be made together on what needs to be done. Remember, we're a brotherhood. We're all priests. It says in Revelation, we've been made kings and priests unto God. We're everyone taught of God. That means God speaks to me, but God also speaks to you, and God speaks to you, and you read your Bible, and God gives you insights into the Word of God. And because God speaks to each one of us, and there's an open channel to heaven for all of us, that means we can work together to make decisions and chart the direction of our lives and the direction of the church. This is the function of our brothers' meetings. Also, along the lines of the functions of a brotherhood is judgment and discernment. And discernment was mentioned in one of the messages here this evening. But that is a function of a brotherhood. In fact, it's always intrigued me and blessed me when I read the scriptures there in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 6, where Paul was exhorting the Corinthian church because they were going to law against each other and going and taking their problems before the heathen. And Paul was saying to them, "Oh, brothers, don't you realize that someday you very Christians, are going to judge angels? Why don't you judge, or why don't you discern, or why don't you have your own court of law?" I believe Paul was saying, "You have your own court of law. You have a problem between two of you? Don't go before the heathen and discern the thing. You get together. You have your own little court of law. Get a few brothers together and discern the thing." That's part of the function also of a brother's meeting, where judgment and discernment can be given. And the blessing of a brotherhood is that you have the wisdom of this brother and the wisdom of this brother and all of his experiences. Maybe Brother Lawrence has been walking with God for 20 years and maybe this Brother David over here, he's been walking with God for 30 years and he's already raised his family and he's had several businesses and he has wisdom in the area of finances and this brother has wisdom in the area of the home and this brother has wisdom in the area of husband-wife relationships and here you've got a brotherhood and you put them all together. You have wisdom that no judge on this earth can come up with. And that's what Paul was saying. Why do you take your problems before the heathen when here you are a brotherhood? Every man taught of God, every one of you a priest of God, every one of you having the Word of God written on the tables of your heart by the Spirit of God, why do you go before the heathen to judge your problem? Solve them among yourself. That's what Paul was saying. And that's one of the blessings of a brotherhood. Also, basic common direction can be agreed upon in a brotherhood. When this fellowship was started almost 10 years ago, one man didn't sit down and decide, "Okay, this is what we're going to do, and this is what where we're going, and this is what we're going to believe." One man didn't do that. In fact, two men didn't sit down and do that. There was about four or five men who sat together almost 10 years ago and charted a basic direction that we are going to go. That's one of the blessings of brotherhood. Some basic common direction can be agreed upon. Isn't it a blessing, brethren, that we can be in a fellowship where there aren't any television sets? Isn't that a blessing? That's part of a brotherhood. We are brothers. We walk together. We know each other. We love one another. We're raising our children the same way. We're wanting to go in the same direction. We are thinking down the line that maybe your son will marry my daughter, or your daughter may marry my son. Isn't it a blessing that we can sit together and chart a basic course? I'm not talking about writing a big long list of standards, but I am saying having a basic agreement that we can agree upon and not have televisions among us and agree that we're going to have godly courtship practices and agree together that I'm not going to give my daughter to your son unless you agree with it and unless I agree with it. What a blessing. That's part of a brotherhood. And it needs to be so. A brotherhood is a common unity. A common unity. That's what a brotherhood is. We made mention of a brother's meeting. Well, that's how we direct the church here. with a brother's meeting. It's not one man sitting in a study all by himself, getting direction from God, and telling everybody else, this is the way we're going to go. That's not how decisions are made around here. Now, every one of us has that freedom to get alone with God and get a message from God about the direction that the church ought to go. But it's not, the decisions aren't made that way. They're made in a brother's meeting, where we all lay the things before each other and get a corporate witness from the same Spirit that is in every one of us that this is the direction that we ought to go. The brotherhood meeting. How does a brotherhood meeting function? Well, our brotherhood meetings function in this manner. Normally, we have one once a month. About 55 men gather together. We sit in a big circle. I chairman the meeting and give a little bit of direction to the meeting. We begin with prayer. All of us fall on our knees together, and we have a season of prayer together. We cry out to God. We come to God together. We're all washed in the same blood. We all have the same Spirit within us. We all have the Abba Father Spirit of adoption within us. And we all fall on our knees together, 55 of us, and beseech the God of heaven and Christ, who is the head of the church, to give direction to our brothers' meeting and to direct the course of this church. We do that every time we get together for a brothers' meeting once a month. After prayer, the minutes are read of the last brothers' meeting that we had. All the things that we discussed in the last meeting are read in the reading of the minutes. And then we open it up for discussion. Anybody have any questions? Anybody have any comments? Anything come up within the last month that has anything to do with the decision that we made in the last meeting? We open it up. Anybody can ask a question. Anybody can challenge a decision. Anybody can bring up a burden at that time. Any one of the 55 men in that circle can bring anything up at that time. Ask a question, make a comment about the reading of the minutes from the last meeting. After that's done, I bring before the brotherhood any decisions that I have that may need to be made. Maybe we need to discuss the building of a mission house in Africa. I don't make that decision on my own. We're going to build a mission house in Africa. I don't get alone with God and say, God told me we're supposed to build a mission house in Africa. Let's build a mission house in Africa. No. We bring it before the brotherhood. What do you think about building a mission house in Africa? Brother so-and-so who knows about building, what do you think about it? Brother so-and-so who knows about financing, what do you think about it? Brother John who has a burden for missions, what do you think about it? Brother Jerry who has a burden for Africa, what do you think about it? And all the brothers share their thoughts about what they think about a mission in Africa. And after a certain amount of discussion, open discussion in the brotherhood, we come to an agreement together and sense the unity of God's Spirit leading us in this direction, and we make the decision, yes, we'll build a mission house in Africa. After I bring several decisions and they're opened up and we discuss them and we make a decision on them, then Brother Mose is given the floor. And he happens to be the financial deacon here as well as serving in a pastoral role. He brings the financial report to us. And a financial report is passed out to every one of the brothers that are sitting in the circle. It's all out there. How much money came in the offering and how much money was spent this last month. It's open. Any brother sitting in this brother's meeting can say, Brother Mose, What does this line 3 have to do with? Where was this $300 spent? What did we do over here? And all of those questions are brought out and they are answered by Brother Mose or anyone else who happened to have been delegated to spend some money on a certain thing. All those things are laid out on the table. nobody wonders at all where the money is going in the church. Because we all look at the financial report. Then after the financial report is looked at, if there are any financial decisions that need to be made, Brother Mose usually brings those up because he's the financial deacon, and he may bring it before the brotherhood. We need to put sealer on the blacktop around the parking lot here. And he'll lay that before the brothers. One brother may say, "Do we need it? How do you know we need it? How much is it going to cost? When can we get it done? Do we need it now?" And we'll go around the room and that thing is discussed. And 55 men will come to a basic agreement. Yes, we need to put sealer on the blacktop parking lot and we'll do it. So-and-so is delegated to find out about it, and then it's passed and carried. After Brother Mose is done, then we turn the time to Brother Aaron, who is also a pastor here in the church. It's opened up to him. If he has anything to bring before the brotherhood, any decisions that need to be made, he brings that before him. When he's done, then it's opened up to anyone. Anybody have a burden? Anybody have a concern? Any concerns that any of you brothers have? Any questions that you have about anything that the ministry has been doing? A decision we made? It's all open. This is a brotherhood. There's no pope here. There's no bishop here who says this is the way it is and nobody challenges anything we do. It's not that way here. Anybody, any brother, can bring to question anything that's going on. A brother brings up a business decision that he's about to make, and he wants to know what the brotherhood feels about it. Another brother is considering moving to another state and joining another church. He wants to know what the brotherhood feels about it, and the brothers admonish him concerning that. Someone else is buying a property, and he wants to know what the brotherhood thinks about it. I need to borrow some money to do it. I want to know what you think about it. That is brought before the brotherhood. Someone brings up a problem with the children in the church. We're having a problem. The children aren't behaving like they should. It's just brought up right there in the brothers' meeting, and we all take a look at it. And in the Spirit of Christ, nobody gets upset at anybody. Nobody gets angry. Nobody storms off. Everyone just receives the cautions, the burdens, the concerns, one of another. We receive them with the Spirit of Christ. Nobody gets upset. We haven't had a hot brothers meeting for years. We just simply take a look at them, one thing after another. What is the burden? What is your problem? Another has a caution about some doctrinal direction, and that's brought up and discussed freely in the brothers' meeting. Another has a question to the ministry, how they dealt with an erring brother, and the ministry is challenged. How did you deal with him? What did you say to him? What was his response? And the ministry is not upset at all that one of the brothers is challenging how they dealt with an erring brother. It's a brotherhood. We're all on the same level. It doesn't matter. You can challenge the preacher in the Spirit of Christ. And with humility, you can challenge him. Another brother breaks down and confesses a need in his home, in his relationship with his wife. Ask for prayer. We get down on our knees and pray for him. It's okay. It's safe here. We're a brotherhood. You're a hurting brother. I want to help you. I want to bear your burden. And we all get down on our knees and pray. Another brother is considering getting married, and he lays it before the brotherhood. I want to know what you think. You know me. You know me better than I know myself. What do you think about me getting married? What do you think about this financial decision I'm going to make? What do you think about me moving to another place? You know me better than I know myself. You see my weaknesses. What do you think? It's a brotherhood here, a brothers' meeting. What a blessed thing it is. If there's a dispute between two brothers, and we're not able to solve it privately, it's brought to the brothers' meeting. it's brought to the brothers' meeting. And the brethren who have the dispute will hear the concerns and the admonitions of the brotherhood as a whole, and they'll bow their heart to the admonitions that are given. Well, you may be saying by now, how then can a pastor be a pastor? Well, 1 Peter chapter 5 exhorts the elders to feed the flock, to take the oversight, to lead the sheep, and to be an example. A pastor can still be a pastor. I found in the last 10 years of my experience in a brotherhood that if the pastor is truly a servant and serves the people, he'll gain their ear and they'll listen to the directions that he gives and give much weight to the words that he says. But he has the checks and balances of all the rest of the brotherhood if he's going to make a wrong move or a wrong decision. It's interesting to me when I ponder the admonition there that Peter gave to the elders to take the oversight. That has taken on quite a bit different meaning to me in the last 10 years. Taking the oversight means to oversee everything that's going on. It means to see, overlook, or see everything that's going on. It doesn't mean to rule everything that's going on. It doesn't mean to call all the shots of what's going on. It just means what it says, to oversee what is going on. And as a pastor, that's the way that I see the work of an overseer. They oversee what is going on. And it's true, if something isn't going on right, then the overseer needs to minister to it. But if everything is going right, then let it go right. And let this brother who has gifts in counseling, let him be a counselor. And this brother who has gifts in preaching, let him preach. And this brother who knows how to heal a hurting marriage, let him heal the hurting marriage. And just oversee it as a pastor, as a shepherd. Feed the flock and oversee what's going on. Yes, that's going okay. Yes, this couple over here, they're getting some help. Yes, this brother's helping this brother over here with his finances. Just oversee it and see it and watch it and watch the whole picture of the whole church functioning at one time. Somebody needs to do that. And thus God gave overseers to the church. A brotherhood. A very sweet principle in the Word of God. I must say to my own heart, a great blessing. I'm so glad that I can be a brother and be a pastor at the same time. Because everybody needs a brother. Even the pastor needs a brother. And I'm so glad that God, in His wisdom, put the principle of brotherhood all through the New Testament. Let us order our lives and let us direct our churches with the principle of brotherhood. I believe that God will bless it and God will raise up many, many leaders. The principle of brotherhood raises up many leaders. The principle of clergy and laity raises up very, very few leaders. God's will is that the church raise up many leaders. Let us be a brotherhood and let us all take our responsibility as a brother in a brotherhood. Shall we kneel together for prayer?
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.